Okay, good morning to everyone on this brand new day that the Lord has made. I am glad to see each one of you. I see a name here I haven't seen before, so maybe it's a new person joining us. We welcome you. I welcome everyone. I am Sister Velma Jean Sanders, the teacher of the Contemporary Bible class at Salem Baptist Church in Omaha, Nebraska. Reverend Dr. Selwyn Q. Backus is the pastor. Sister Marsha Hall is the ministry leader of the Life Development Ministry. We greet you in the name of Jesus. We are continuing in our study this morning from the Gospel according to Luke, and we are currently in Luke chapter 11. We started at chapter 1 some time ago. The goal is to go through the entire book, regardless of how long or short it may take. So you will need your Bibles for this class. I teach from the New King James Version of the Bible. We have a rather ambitious lesson this morning, teaching this morning a lot to cover, which is usually true of all of our lessons because God's word is rich and full. But we are going to get right into the study. I encourage you to not only have your Bibles, but also pencil and paper, just in case you want to take some notes. It's always good to have that beforehand. A couple of announcements I would like to make. Sister Kathy Piper, I see her with us. Good morning, Sister Piper. And Sister Piper had a beloved loved one in her family, Brother Bob, who I did meet, passed yesterday. He's in glory now. But he's okay, he's free, he's home. But we offer our condolences to Sister Piper as well as her family, to her sister, who surely is grieving. Even though we know Christ, we still have sorrow in death. So there's still sorrow in death, even though our loved ones are gone on with the Lord. So we want to extend to Sister Piper, our beloved sister, and her family, our deepest condolences. Also, I don't know if Sister Sadie Cole is with us or not. There's Sharon and Yendel, Wendell. I'm not sure if Sister Cole is with us or not, but her surgery was successful. So we want to rejoice in that. I'm glad to see all of you. I'm not sure if London is on the screen with us or not, or is on Zoom with us or not. Maybe, may not be, and that's a good thing. We're glad that I keep calling her London because I can't remember her name. But all the rest of us, as far as I know, are citizens of these United States of America. Praise the Lord. Great nation God put us in. But if you're like me, we're all of a heavy heart. And our lesson this morning, I by no means, I always keep the teaching of the Word of God with the teaching of the Word of God. If we were to open it up to discussion, you know, everybody with a head on their body has an opinion. So this class is not about opinions, my view, what I think, or what you think. But I believe we can all come into consensus that our hearts are heavy and we need the Lord. We need God to intercede. He knows what to do. He knows how to do it. He has the power to do it, and he knows exactly when. So I believe we can all come into agreement and pray, Father, we do ask that you hallow your name. We do ask that your kingdom come. We do ask that God's will be done on this earth in these United States of America at this current time. Lord God, we need you. Now, other than that, that's all I'm going to say on that. That is sufficient, that God knows what to do better than we can tell him, because we see in part, we know in part. But God knows the whole, and he has the power to fix it. We have to live in this nation in peace, and we want to. And so, therefore, we as Christians, salt of the earth, salt even in this nation, light, we need to be in prayer. Okay? So having said that, our lesson today is from Luke chapter 11, continuing on in the Lord's Prayer. We will be looking this morning at the petition found in verse 2. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That will be the topic of our story, of our study this morning. The kingdom of God coming, his will being done. Blessed God, we come before you, the Most High God, our Father and our God. We come before you with humble heart and humble mind. We reverence you, Lord God. We take peace in knowing that our God reigns. And we thank you, Lord God. Although things may come as surprises to us, nothing surprises you. And for that, we are glad. We thank you that you sit on the throne and that you do reign. We thank you and praise you that you are our Father. We thank you and praise you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our Lord. We thank you and we praise you for your great love for us. We thank you and we praise you for your wisdom, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you that you are able, Lord God, to work all things together for good to those who love you and to those who are the called according to your purpose. And now, Lord God, we ask you to forgive us of any of our sins and anything that would hinder us from receiving from you this morning. Dear Lord, we pray, forgive. We pray for those who are in mourning and bereavement, Lord God, and we ask you to extend comfort as only you can give. And now, Lord, I pray for your anointing of the Holy Spirit. Help me to teach this thy holy word. Your word is rich and it's beyond me, Lord God. I know I need your spirit. So I ask you to lead and guide, direct and teach. And may your word, the entrance of your word, give light to us all. We'll be careful to give your name. And we do remember the absent part of us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, as this class and Christian saints of the Most High God, we do lift up our nation before you, Lord God. And we know that you are God. We know that you have all power. We know you know what to do. We know you know how to do it. We know you know better than any of us can tell you. Lord God, you know all about it. And you are God who is able. Our God is able to work it out. And so we ask you to work it out. And we're going to go on with our eyes lifted to the hills from whence cometh our help. And we know that our help comes from the Lord. We bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, we're going to enter into our study. As I said, this is an ambitious lesson this morning, just as last week was, talking about our Father in heaven. Hallowed be his name. And I mentioned to you, I in effect trembled at the awesomeness of teaching on hallowed be the name of the Lord. Well, the same is true this week as I was studying and looking and preparing for this lesson, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I found myself as well trembling, as it were, at the awesomeness of God. And so I'm aware, even more so than you are aware, that I need the Lord to help us to understand what it is that he would have us to say and to learn. Well, by way of a quick review, we know that we are studying now from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. In that passage is what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus answered the question of the disciples, or answered the request of the disciple, Lord, teach us to pray. And he gave them exactly what to pray. Here we are thousands of years later, but we are also Christ's disciples. If there's anything we should pray on a regular basis, it is the Lord's Prayer, because of who gave the prayer, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so with that in mind, we have been praying the Lord's Prayer periodically. And I hope through this lesson that you have and I have been praying this prayer more frequently, even on a regular basis. It is a complete prayer. It is a perfect prayer. It cannot be improved on prayer. Everything, every other prayer comes up under this prayer in some way. We found out that this is a family body of Christ prayer where all the children of God address the Father, and the location of God, the address of God in effect is, as it were, is in heaven. We address our Father God. He is high. He is exalted. He is on the throne. He is in heaven. And now this, we saw last week also, hallowed be the name of the Lord. Hallowed mean to be sacred and to be revered. And we are to revere and reverence the name of the God, of God. And if anyone should reverence the name of God, it should be Christians. And so with that in mind, I would just like to remind you, remind some, instruct the others, but all of us need to know, be very careful how you use the name of the Lord, how you use the name of Jesus. We are to always revere the name of God. We are living in a world. This world lies in the wicked one. And the wicked one is a rebel against God, against his name, against the works of God, the words of God, the ways of God. And so being saturated in this world, You can even in movies, and there's a lot of movies and things that irreverently use the name of God and hide it under comedy. Well, God's name is not to be laughed at. And some things can be presented, especially in these movies and TV shows, and it's becoming more prevalent where the name of God, it is by no, and then it's hidden as it were, slipped in, perhaps in a church environment, using the name of God in a light way. We should never, ever use his name lightly as Christians. God has commanded everyone, really, to hallow his name, but especially the saints of God. And so we want to be aware of that. We don't want to ever get used to blasphemy. It's either hallowing the name of God or blaspheming the name of God. There is no in between. And so we don't want to get used to blasphemy. Even when I hear, whether it's on TV, whether I'm around somebody, or I may hear someone, if I'm at a store or wherever, hear someone use God's name in an irreverent manner, immediately there's something in me that rises up against that. I hate that. And I always come back with, Lord, I bless your name. I bless the name of the Lord. And it's something in my spirit. I just hate to hear someone use the name of God irreverently. Well, I'm not responsible for them, but I am responsible for me. I never, ever want to get used to hearing the name of God blasphemed. So we want to be very, very careful and be aware of that. For God is jealous for his name, and he has said and will not revoke it. He will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So we want to always reverence the name of the Lord. Now we go on this morning, and we're going to look at this next petition in this prayer. The address of the prayer is Our Father in Heaven. Last week, we looked at this first petition, hallowed be your name. And also with hallowed be your name, we want to hallow God's name. We want those around us to hallow and respect his name. We want to hallow his name in our words, in our deeds, in our actions, in our thoughts, whatever we do in word or in deed, we want to do all to the glory of God. Even though we fall short, that is in our heart to do. Lord, help me to love you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to hallow your name. But also, it also means, God, hallow your own name. God, vindicate and stand up for your own name. And the time will come where God will vindicate his name against all blasphemy, against all disrespect, against all contempt at his name. The day will come where every knee will bow to Jesus and every knee will bow down to the Lord God, the Almighty. Some will bow on their way to hell. Others will bow, praise the Lord, in glory. But all will give reverence to the name of God. His name will be hallowed. Now, this next petition that we move on to is, Lord God, we pray that your kingdom will come. Your kingdom come. Well, it has a twofold aspect as well. Now, this is a vast topic, the kingdom of God. It is more vast than most of us are aware. Now, when you think of a kingdom, it said, well, we haven't read the passage. So let me read this passage, Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And we say amen to the word of God. We say amen to this prayer. Well, we have seen that this prayer has several parts to it. There's the address of the prayer, Our Father in heaven. The first part of the prayer is about God. It's all about God. It is God, hallowed be your name. It is God, your kingdom come. And it is the Lord God, Father, your will be done. It is your name. It is about God's name, and his alone. Your name be hallowed. And then next, Lord, it is about your kingdom. Your kingdom come. Ultimately, we want to, as Christians in our prayers, your name be hallowed, God, and yours alone. Your kingdom come, Lord, and yours alone, ultimately. Your will be done, God, and yours alone. And God is at work, even through prayer, accomplishing this purpose, that his name will be hallowed, his kingdom will come, and his will be done. And so we want to rise above, even though we dwell on this earth. We are citizens here, physically, nationally, here of the United States of America, and London, if she's on the line, I'm not sure where her native land is, her citizenship. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we always, as believers, want to walk in the Spirit. You want to walk in the Spirit, see in the Spirit. And so we need the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. It is hallowed be God's name. It is for his kingdom to come. It is for his will to be done. It is not about Velma, and it's not about you. It is not about any of us. It is not my name be hallowed. It is not the contemporary Bible class being that hallowed. It is not Salem Baptist Church or any other church be hallowed. Ultimately, it's God's name. And it's not about anybody else's name being hallowed. It is God's name that is to be hallowed. It is not about my kingdom come. I have no kingdom. It is not about my kingdom or anybody else's kingdom. It's about God's kingdom coming. And it's not about what I want. That's why, you know, there is a time to talk about things, but this is not the time, because we all have what we think, what we will, what we want. It is about God's will be done. And so if we stay on those grounds, we're safe. God will hear that prayer. Your name, God, your kingdom, your will. So this morning, we're going to move on with hallowed be God's name. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about us. It's not about ours. It's about him. It's about God, his name, his kingdom, his will. And so the prayer is, thy kingdom come. Well, when you think of kingdom, now this is a huge thing. From Genesis to Revelation, there is no way we can exhaust this thing. And I plan on whatever God gives me to teach in this few minutes that we have, that will be it. I cannot exhaust it. We could stay in this for a long time studying about the kingdom of God. It is a theme of the Bible. God opens up. The Bible opens up. In the beginning, God. God is the King. God is the King. And we see God moving in the beginning. And God as King and the Sovereign One, God who has all power, God said, let there be. Now that's God in his kingly role as sovereign over everything. God says, let there be, let there be, let there be. And God is ruling and reigning. Well, the theme of kingship and dominion goes on. Because when we look here, it says, your kingdom come. Well, think about the word kingdom. If there is a kingdom, there must be a king. Okay, so we're talking about a king here. Now, we live here, and this is just happens to be the topic. I did not plan this. I couldn't have planned it if I wanted to. But this is where we are in our study. We're talking about a kingdom coming. We're talking about a king. This is a king that we're talking about in our prayer. Our petition to God is, your kingdom come. Therefore, we are talking about a king. Well, when you think of a king, and it's hard for us, hard in quotes, for us really to get into that kingship mentality, because we live in a democracy. Praise the Lord. That's okay. That's the way it is. But the kingship, when you think of a king has sovereignty. A king rules and reigns. A king has sovereignty. And God, as the sovereign one, he does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, however he chooses to do it. He asks no one for permission to do what he wants to do. He is the king. And so when we pray, your kingdom come, we're talking about the kingship, the rulership of God. With the kingdom comes the king. Now, Jesus, now, as I said, this is a huge topic because on many levels, there is this kingdom that is to come. But ultimately, Jesus said, pray, Father, your kingdom come. Well, we move on in Genesis, and I'm not going to be able to cover all of this because it's all throughout the Bible. Well, we see God, he as the king, gives to man dominion. And dominion is a kingship word. Dominion has within it, we're talking about ruling and reign. And so it is with a king. With a kingdom, there is this king. There is sovereignty. Now, God was still the king. Even when he gave man dominion, God set the rules. God set the laws. God gave the word. He was still king, even though he had given to Adam. Everyone, make sure you're on mute. And God had given to Adam dominion, but God is still ruling. And God still said, Adam, you can eat of all the trees of the garden, but that one. So God was still ruling, even though he had given to man dominion. And then it goes on all throughout scripture. And God calls out a people. He starts with Abraham. God calls out a people, Israel, Mount Sinai, at Moses. And God is establishing the law. And God is establishing how the kingdom will reign, should reign. Okay? So it's a big, huge, huge topic. And then Matthew opens up and the New Testament opens up with the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Christ, the king, is born. And so when we talk about, let me just stay on this word king for another moment here. When we talk about your kingdom come, We are talking about a king. We are talking about a throne. There is a throne. There is dominion and there is sovereignty. And so we're praying, God, reign. You reign, God, your sovereignty. Now, when we say, God, your kingdom come, king, throne, sovereign, dominion. Well, the scripture lets us know, because we talked about it last week, our Father in heaven. That's where our Father is. He is in heaven. But the scripture lets us know heaven is his throne. Heaven is his throne. So God, our Father, is in heaven, but God is not only our Father. God, our Father, is the King. God, our Father, is the King. And so we want our most utmost allegiance to go to God, your name be hallowed. God, your kingdom come. God, your will be done. There's a song most of us have heard, kings and kingdoms shall all pass away. But there's something about this name, the name and the kingdom, the rule of God to rule and to reign. Let's go to several scriptures. We have a lot. As I said, this is an ambitious lesson this morning. And I mentioned Genesis. I mentioned Adam. Even Noah, after the flood, God gives to Noah dominion. And then it goes on all throughout the Old Testament and the kings. God himself is king. Then Israel wanted a king. There's a lot about kingdom in scripture. But let's go on over to Jude, because we hear this passage, this doxology, often. We hear it so often. Sometimes you can see things so much and hear things so much that you really don't hear it. But let's remind ourselves of this doxology in Jude. The next to the last book of the Bible is the Epistle of Jude. And we want to look at Jude verse 24 and 25, one of the great doxologies of the Bible. And it reads, the doxology is now to him. Now to him, and that's who we're concerned about, is God, your name, your kingdom, your will. Now to him, praise God, he is able. God is able to keep us from stumbling, old King James says, from falling. And God is able, praise the Lord, to present us faultless through the blood of Jesus. He is able to present us faultless before the presence of his glory. And glory is another one of those words that fit in with a king, with sovereignty, with majesty, with dominion, with a throne. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God, our Savior, praise the Lord. To God, our Savior, who alone is wise. That's why we have to lift up our prayer into God, your will be done. Because it is God alone who is wise. He knows what, when, how, who, what. He knows. He alone is wise. And it is to this God that we say to you, God, be glory. That's another majestic kingship word, is glory. To you, you alone who is wise, be glory and majesty, majesty. That fits in with the king. To God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion, dominion. It's his kingdom come. So that word dominion, and we hear this doxology often, but to God, we say, we want to look at it anew here. Our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory. You God, be glorified. However you want to do it, you be glorified. And majesty, dominion, and power. You know what and how to do, and you are able. And so we say, God, to you be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now, right now. Lord God, now we pray your kingdom come, your will be done. You are the wise God. We ask you, Lord, be glorified in your majesty, dominion and power, both now, right now, and forever. Amen. And so that theme of kingship is all throughout the Bible, even to this doxology in Jude. And most certainly things come to a culmination and consummation in the book of Revelation. Well, Isaiah 66, I'm talking fast, a lot to say, time is moving. But Isaiah 66, verse 1 tells us heaven is God's throne. And from that throne, God reigns and God rules. Heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. That's the Bible. Heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. Now, last week, we ended on Psalm 145. And so let's go to Psalm 145. And for those of you last week who went on and were participants tuned into Salem's sermon, Pastor Backus' sermon last week, he was right with us talking about the names of God, and he read Psalm 145. We ended on Psalm 145. Well, we're going to go back to it today. Now, hold Luke, because Luke is our home base. But let's go to Psalm, because we're talking about one Psalm, Psalm 145, Psalm 145. Now we pray, as I'm turning to Psalm 145, we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And so we want to keep in mind, our Father, pray, this is a beautiful thing here. Our Father is the King. Our Father is our Father. But our Father, he is the King, and we are concerned about his reign and his dominion. Psalm 145, I will extol you. That's hallowing the name. I will extol you, my God, O King. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. And so you can see right there, hallowed be your name, your kingdom. And that's why David says, I will extol you, your name, my God, O King. And then let's move on to verse 10, Psalm 145. Verse 10 says, all your works shall praise you, O Lord. And so I'm going to read further here. But God is moving all things to praise him, to hallow his name. God is moving all things, even though we can't understand it all. And Reverend Wade Sr. said, I wouldn't serve a God I can understand. We do not understand the ways of the Lord. He wouldn't be a God if we could understand his sovereign ways. But he tells us in Psalm 145, verse 10, all your works shall praise you, O Lord. And your saints shall bless you, hallowing his name. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom. That's what we're concerned about ultimately. Your kingdom, God, however you want to do it, however you want to do it, Lord, we speak of the glory of your kingdom. And we talk of your power. It's his name. It's his kingdom. It's his will. So we always want to lift above my and ours to him, to yours. And so this kingship here in Psalm 145, verse 11, they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts. To make known, and that making known, when we make known, that in effect is hallowing his name. And it is also bringing about his kingdom. There's different aspects to it. And I'll say as much as I can this morning. verse 12, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom, God, is an everlasting kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion, that's the word we saw in Jude, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. And so God is moving, even though we cannot see, we cannot understand. Well, our chief goal is to pray, your kingdom, your name be hallowed, your kingdom come, your will be done. And he knows how to do, what to do, when to do. God knows how. And so this psalm here, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. So that lets us know what? God is king. He is king right now. He is king both now and forever. Now, Psalm 145:13 said his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Had no start, had no end. Couldn't be voted in, can't be voted out. He is God. He is sovereign. He reigns. He's on the throne. How long shall he reign? His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And his dominion endures throughout all generations. Now, one more verse here in Psalm 145, verse 21. Verse 21, the last verse says, my mouth, and you have to make it your mission and your goal, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name. All flesh, that's back to he will see to it that everyone hallows his name. He will see to it that all the kingdoms of this world will be swept up and extinguished by the coming of his kingdom. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name. What's the time frame? Forever. And as if forever was not long enough, he said forever and ever. So God reigns and rules over all things. Now we go back to Luke chapter 11, and then you have to think, well, if that's the case, that he is the king, and he is the king. I believe it's in 1 Timothy. I have it written on my notes somewhere here. 1 Timothy says, now unto the king eternal, now to the king eternal, be glory and majesty, now and forever, amen. I may not have quoted that right, so we're going to find it before class is over today. But God's kingdom is reigning even now. So why is it that Jesus would tell us to pray if God's kingdom is reigning now and he is the king? God is the king even now. But on the other hand, we are to pray, your kingdom come. So there has to be different levels of this kingdom. There has to be different aspects of the kingdom. Now, keep in mind, God is ruling over it all. He is still the king. He never relinquishes his kingdom or his kingship. Even when he gave Adam dominion, he still set the rules. God was still the king who set the laws. So even though God's the king now and forever, he tells us to pray. Jesus told us to pray, your kingdom come. Well, that must mean, that has to mean, that there is some aspect if we're praying, your kingdom come. Y'all hear how I tried to accentuate that word. If we're saying, your kingdom come, well, evidently, there must be a rival kingdom somewhere, and there is, but God is still ruling over it all. But there is a rival kingdom headed up by the devil. Now, you all know several weeks ago when we were talking about our Father, and I encourage you to read John chapter 8, and you saw different fathers in there. Fathers were mentioned, Father Abraham and Father God and Father the Devil. different, these fathers, two heads, fathers. Well, you either in one family or the other. Either God is your father through Jesus Christ by the blood of the Lamb, or Satan is the father. And that's how we come into this world. That's why we need redemption. That's why Jesus came to redeem us, that we might be delivered and that we might be saved. And most of us have heard the scripture. He translated us from the kingdom of darkness. We were in this kingdom of darkness into the marvelous light, all right? So if we're praying your kingdom come, then there must be a rival kingdom. As there are two fathers, there are also ultimately two kings. Now, I say that God is still reigning. You all, now you hear Velma say that God is in control of everything. Nothing happens without God, all right? We know that he is the king now and forever in all spaces, all ages. He reigns, he rules. But God in his wisdom and how he does things, it wasn't no surprise to God when God created Lucifer that he would fall. He didn't surprise God. God didn't say, oh, I didn't know he was going to do that. God didn't say when Adam took a bite. God didn't say, oh, I didn't know they was going to do that. God knows. He knows all things. But on this other level, there is a rival kingdom. There are two fathers. There are two kings. God, the king, he reigns his kingdom. But we are praying your kingdom come. So even in Luke 11, right here in Luke 11, you can see these two kingdoms at work. When we go over to Luke 11, verse 18. Luke 11, verse 18. Luke 11, verse 17. And Luke 11, 17 says, but he, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. That is a law. That's a spiritual law. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Now, that's what I wanted to bring out. There is a rival kingdom, and it is the kingdom of Satan. It is said right here in verse 18. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, because you, those Pharisees there, they say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I, Jesus, cast out demons, if I, Jesus, and he did, cast out demons, how? With the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Did you see that? The kingdom of God has come upon you. Now, we can recall when John the Baptist said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The king is coming. The king is coming. And then Jesus came and Jesus said, I must preach the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. And he went about doing good. And all that Jesus did, all that he did, yes, he came to save us, but he came back to push back the power of darkness and establish his kingdom. With every healing, now I'm talking about in general here, with every healing, casting out of demons, it was pushing back the king of darkness, and it was bringing about healing, and it was bringing about deliverance. There is a rival kingdom, and this has been going on for a long, long time, this rival kingdom. It started even before heaven, even before this earth was created. So let's look at this king of the rival kingdom quickly. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on him, but this is why we're praying, Lord, your kingdom come, not mine, not anybody else's, but yours. And so there's this rival kingdom. Now, let's go to several scriptures. Let's go to 1 John first. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John. So that's towards the back of your Bibles. 1 John, all the way back there by Jude. Then you see 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. So let's go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. Now we saw in Luke chapter 11, the kingdom of Satan. And we have seen from John 8, 44, those different fathers. But let's look at 1 John chapter 3, and let's start at verse 8. 1 John chapter 3, starting at verse 7. Now you all know I could go all the way back, but time won't let me. 1 John chapter 3, starting at verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Now, this is rules of the kingdom of God. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, why did Jesus come? Well, he came to save. But here's another reason. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And that's what Jesus was doing when he was on this earth, and ultimately at Calvary, was to destroy the works of the devil. However, we're looking around and we can say, well, he looks like things aren't quite extinguished, because we can see the devil causing a lot of havoc in this world. And so this rival kingdoms is still going on. But still above it all, God is reigning. Verse 9, whoever has been born of God, whoever has been born of God does not sin. That means doesn't continually, habitually liking it and loving it, wallowing in sin. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed, God's seed, remains in him. And when we do sin, we're convicted. And his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. That's the evidence of being a Christian. Being born again is when you do sin, you're convicted and you want to, Lord, help me and strengthen me and deliver me. Verse 10, in this sin, talking about sin, in this, the children of God, that's the children of God, our Father, in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. It's only two. There's only two families and only two kingdoms ultimately. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. That's a law. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Love is, you all love. So this is a measuring stick. God gives us the plumb line and the measuring stick, and his word gives light to us. Verse 10, whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And so we want to abide. That's why I said we need to lift up higher, because if we stay on this human level, that all kind of divisions will come. We want to walk in the spirit. Okay, verse, where am I? 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain. You know, this is an old battle been going on. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, That's that other family. Not of Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? because his works were evil and his brothers righteous. Okay, so there's the two families and then the rule of the two kingdoms. One is righteousness. There's righteousness and godliness. That's on the kingdom. God's kingdom is righteousness and godliness, okay? And love, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. You know, I don't know what scripture it is. I did look it up, and if I had more than a minute, it would come to me where it is. It's in Romans. It is in Romans 14. Let's go to it quickly. Romans 14. Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans 14, verse 17. Now, we didn't make it to Isaiah. Maybe we'll get there. But let's look at Romans 14, verse 17. And so what I'm establishing now is just as there are two fathers, so there are two kings and kingdoms. God is ruling over it all. Now and forever, God reigns. But God, in his wisdom, which we don't understand the ways of the Lord, God in his wisdom has allowed this rivalry to go on. He has told us to pray that his kingdom will come. Romans 14, verse 17. Romans 14, verse 7. There are many scriptures. Last night, we have 4 minutes. Last night, I went through this, you know, I was all through the Bible. I'm praying, Lord, lead me, guide me. Lord, help me, teach me, teach through me. And I went through, got out my Strong's Concordance just to go through kingdom from the book of Luke, just to go through, and it's many scriptures on the kingdom of God just in Luke. And I, if we had time, and I knew we wouldn't, even when I wrote it down, that we were going to go through some Luke passages. But let's go through what God would have us to go through, I pray in Jesus' name. Romans 14, verse 16. Romans 14, beginning at verse 16. And it says, therefore, and you have to go back and pick up why the therefore is there. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not an outward thing. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom of God is headed up by righteousness. It's righteousness ultimately. And God sits on the throne of grace. He sits on the throne of grace, extending what? Mercy. He's on the throne of grace, extending mercy. And so godliness. Well, this rival kingdom, let's look at it quickly in our last 2 minutes. Let's go to lawlessness. There is a rival kingdom. Let's go to lawlessness. It's in 1 Timothy. Let's go to 1 Timothy. No, second. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. And that's all the T's are together in the New Testament. 1 Timothy, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy. But let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and then we're going to have to go into prayer. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. And write down this scripture. On one side, there's these two kingdoms. God's the king. His kingdom is headed by godliness, righteousness, love, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Light, truth, all of that is the kingdom of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And now let's look at this lawlessness, then we go into prayer. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There's a lot on this, and it's all throughout the Bible. 2 Thessalonians, that's how it started in Genesis, was Satan, the lawlessness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness. And when you read 1 Timothy 3, you'll see the mystery of godliness. Godliness on one hand, lawlessness on the other. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one, that is a man, that is Satan, ultimately Antichrist. And then the lawless one will be revealed. Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one. So our time is up, and I will be praying, Lord, do you want me to continue with this study? Because there's a lot more to it, or do you want me to go on? He will let me know. One thing about the Bible, if you continue in it, because it is one book, it will still be covered, even if I choose by God's leading to go on. Father in heaven, we praise you now unto the King eternal. Be glory and majesty now and forever. Amen. We thank you that you rule and you reign and you are our peace. We pray as we go throughout this day and into the week that, Lord God, it will be our purpose to extol you, O God, our Father, our King. We ask you to be with us this week and keep us in your care until we meet again. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Beautiful.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Amen.
God bless you.
Good.
Amen.
We love you, Sister Delma.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Amen. Everyone have a blessed
have
week.
A good day, everyone.
Have a good day, everyone.
Have a great one.
You have a good day.
All right, have a blessed week.
Walk in the spirit.
Yes.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
And Miss Delma.
I heard
this is Sharon.
Amen. Amen.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Okay.
Bye.
You want to say hello, Miss Sadie?
Hi.
Hi, Sister
Sadie. Hi, Sister Delma.
Hi.
And the entire class.
God bless
good
you.
Morning.
Good lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Have a blessed day.
Have a blessed day, everyone.
You have a blessed day. You
continue
well.
In prayer.
Amen.
Keep praying.
Amen. Thank you. Yes.
And thank you for praying.
Amen.
Yes.
God bless
you. Pray for me. Had me on the mat.
And Kristen raised her hand. I saw your note. There's many aspects to this kingdom. Amen. God bless everyone. Hope to see you next week.
God bless you as well.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye.
Wow. She had a lot to say.
Yes, she did. And